Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, sad news yesterday. Legendary Jeopardy host Alex Trebek died at the age of 80 after what turned out to be a year and a half long battle against pancreatic cancer. And Robert Thompson is back with us this afternoon. He's a professor of television and popular culture. He's got, you know, I think Alex Trebek had a great gig. Robert Thompson has got a pretty cool gig, and we've had him on many times before, unfortunately, in circumstances like this. Professor of television and popular culture, Syracuse University. Robert Thompson, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. A sad bit of news, but we're going to still get to watch Alex Trebek Jeopardies right up to Christmas.
Yeah, when I heard the news yesterday, and it was one of those that, you know, we all anticipated was going to probably come sooner rather than later, it was just one of those, you know, big bummers of a moment. I wasn't the most loyal Jeopardy fans, but you'd have to be living under a rock and in a cave to not feel the pop culture reverberations of that show for the last 40 years.
That is true, and it wasn't a surprise, of course, but it was beginning to... He announced in that very affable comic way that his diagnosis back in March of 2019, and the prognosis for what he announced was really bad. But then he went the full year, and he was still surviving, and he looked good, and he was still taping the show. I think a lot of people were beginning to think that you know, he had beaten this. He'd gotten better against all odds. So it still was kind of a surprise when we realized that, in fact, he hadn't. As for his impact on popular culture, I mean, this is up there at the top or near the top of the, you know, biggest game shows of all time. I mean, there have been other shows that have lasted a long time, other hosts who have been on quite a lot. But for sheer longevity and the cultural penetration, Jeopardy is really hard to beat, and Alex Trebek was a game show host like no other. You know, we're kind of used to the Wink Martindales, the Bob Eubanks, the Bill Collins, all the rest of it. Alex Trebek waltzes into Jeopardy and does something entirely different with the form of the game show.
So, and when you say waltzes in, what I've heard this a little bit here in the last 24 hours, you know, the story of how he got, he was a news guy, and how was he discovered by Merv Griffin?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't have said waltzed in, like he just stumbled into the studio when they were looking for a game show host. He
yes.
had done game shows in the past, and he had you know, been kind of working in that arena, although he had aspirations of being a news person. So he already had a reel when it came time to get that job. But he brought he walked that fine line between both being a smart guy intellectual, but also someone who's likable. You know, most of the time when we encounter somebody who, you know, Mr. Smarty, we tend to not like them in this country. What did the smart kids get for being smart in school? They got their lunch money stolen. Alex was not that way. He was a smart guy, but you'd rather go to lunch with him than take his lunch. And I think that was a difficult thing to do, and I think he did it expertly.
He was just a kind of, look, this is what Ken Jennings said today. Alex wasn't just the best ever at what he did. He was also a lovely and deeply decent man, and I'm grateful for every minute I get to spend with him. He was one of those, you know, rare guys. And what a great gig. I'm jelly. You know, my friend George Gray is Drew Carey's voice on The Price is Right. He's got one of those epic gigs, although that was put on hold because of COVID. But, I mean, this is just one of those all-time great jobs in television, and he handled it so well, which is kind of leading people to believe, can there be a Jeopardy without Alex Trebek? Of course, there will be. There's probably too much money on the line, but
right.
That's going to be a tough gig to fill. I heard George Stephanopoulos is angling. I don't know. Are you hearing any other names?
Well, I just talked to one of our local newscasters, Andrew Donovan, on Channel 9 ABC affiliate here. And he was the first that suggested to me what I think is the best idea of all, which is Ken Jennings himself. The reason I thought
that
was a great idea when he said it, which is like 15 minutes ago, was, first of all, it's going to be hard to announce Alex's replacement right after this because it'll seem tasteless and all the rest of it. He's a beloved character. But by announcing Ken Jennings, Ken Jennings was like Alex's surrogate son. He's like Trebek 2.0. The two of them had such a great relationship, as that quote you just read indicates. And I don't know if you saw, but during that greatest of all time thing, Ken Jennings did a lot of press and a lot of he was on a lot of talk shows and stuff like that. And he's really quite funny, quite affable, and I think would be perfectly capable of doing that. So that wasn't my idea, but I think it's a good one.
I think that is one, and I do remember, you know, his sense of humor, and he was pretty charming. So I think that will be one eventually that will get, you know, some serious consideration. Well, listen, I've only got one weird story when it comes to Jeopardy. First of all, I always felt really stupid watching the show, even when they had the college weeks, because you think that with someone of average intelligence, and maybe I'm being a little too generous to myself there, I could at least get some of those questions right. But here, I had this dog 25 years ago, my ex-wife's dog, Cagney, was a Cocker Spaniel. And if we would leave the TV on, this is true, in the room and the Jeopardy theme came on, this dog would just howl. There was something about that theme that the dog just didn't like in its ears. I remember being outside one time doing yard work outside, and the dog was inside just howling. I'm like, what is wrong?
Oh,
I ran inside and the television was on Jeopardy. It was pretty crazy.
Here's my theory. In a previous life, that dog lost Double Jeopardy for not answering in the form of a question.
I love it. I love it, Robert Thompson. Thank you so much for coming on here. Professor of Television and Pop Culture at Syracuse University. Always great to have you on, even when it's, you know, in a situation like this where we have to have someone that is legendary that passes. But, Robert, thanks a lot. I appreciate it as always.
Can't wait for our next conversation.
The problem is our next conversation typically is something when somebody dies, unfortunately. But yeah, Alex Trebek, the news yesterday, as he pointed out, Robert did at the beginning of the segment, you're going to still see Alex Trebek on Jeopardy throughout the remainder of this year. My producer, Dave Klein, back in the studio, pointed this out today, and I think this is kind of stunning. I was thinking about this for Audio Cut of the Day. It might still be Audio Cut of the Day, but think about this. And you always have these weird, strange coincidences, but this is pretty special considering it was the last show that aired on Friday. This is a contestant by the name of Bert Thacker as they wrapped up the show that they taped several months ago, I'm sure, but it aired on Friday afternoon.
Any family members back home cheering you on?
You know, here's a true story, man. I grew up, I learned English because of you. And so my grandfather, who raised me, I'm going to get tears right now. I used to sit on his lap and watch you every day. So it's a pretty special moment for me, man. Thank you very much.
That's just really special there. And I think that was a show, and Alex Trebek was a guy who, you know, connected with people. You realize, sometimes you forget, you know, and I'm not certainly trying to compare what I do to Alex Trebek, but people in those positions, I think, do forget. Maybe Alex Trebek wasn't one of those guys. He seemed to be really, really in touch with the fans and the audience and how much he was a part of their life. And in some cases, every day. And that sense, even when you look through the course of the last 6 months in the pandemic, you know, you don't have a lot of normality or things you can count on. And that certainly for a lot of people, especially depending on mobility or how often you can get out of the house, that's something that people depend on. So I'll be very curious to see what they do with that in the future. I love the Ken Jennings idea. Dave, what do you think about that? I can't see how they're not going to take a close look at an idea like that. Although being a I think everyone thinks being a game show host or television host is an easy thing to do. It's not.
I never really thought of that angle, but I think that is a brilliant idea. I love that.
That is good. Whoever gets that gig, that's like one of the best gigs in all of television because, you know, and if you're young enough and you still get the ratings, you can ride that thing out until you're 80 years old. Look at that. 3:15. Kyle McClellan's going to join us next. He's got some great, great entertainment on tap for KMOX tonight on our website and also here on KMOX Live at 6 o'clock. He sat down. This goes back to spring training, a really cool interview he did with two of his teammates, his former teammates, Yachty and Adam Wainwright. Obviously very important parts of the Cardinals, even moving forward, question mark. We'll talk with Kyle coming up next. Also at 3:35, since we're on the topic of game shows, I guess we should have strung this together with Robert Thompson. But Spencer Scott is a St. Louis native. He is now a client services manager. I don't know if he lives in the area still, but he is a contestant on The Weakest Link. They rebooted that show with Jane Lynch, and that's on tonight with Spencer on NBC. So we'll talk to him at 3:35. Plus, an audio cut of the day, 3:16 at KMOX.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
3:19, welcome back. We're going to kind of go back to game shows just because I think we need the diversion. At 3:35, a guy named Spencer Scott, who is on The Weakest Link tonight on NBC. I really can't understand. There must be a reason that I was able to drag this guy out of a deer stand this time of year. Kyle McClellan with us to preview a very cool show that's going to air tonight on KMOX. Why aren't you in a deer stand right now, Kyle?
Well, first off, it's 80 degrees, and second off, I haven't done an interview in like a year, and when they asked if I could do it, I got all giddy. I haven't been on the radio in a long time.
I do hate hunting when it's, and I've been in the tree stand for rifle season in Missouri when it's like 80 or 85 degrees, and it's just miserable. I don't like it very much, so I get it. How have you had success so far this year, though? You haven't sent me any videos, and usually I get those, so I'm anticipating.
Not yet. I'm very picky, as you know, so we've actually seen a good amount of numbers and good amount of bucks, but not the one that I'm looking for. He likes to visit at like 3 or 4 in the morning when I'm sleeping. So I'll stay after him. We'll see what happens after this rut if he stays around, but he'll slip up eventually.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? I know that you had been working one pretty hard and finally, you know, that paid off.
Yeah, last year was the best year I've ever had. I was able to harvest a deer I was after for 2 years. I missed him the year before. Tons of history with them on my farm, and then able to harvest the next top lister on my farm for gun season, and then my kids both took their first deer last year, so it was a year we'll never forget.
So, dude, you know what's awesome is Alexa's 5 and a half now, and she's gone to deer camp now the last 2 years, just sort of hanging out a little bit. This year, she's going for the entire weekend. We got her out in a deer condo last year. She's a great deer spotter. I'm not going to force her to handle a gun until she feels like she's ready, but she loves it. She's into it. The guts didn't turn her off, so I think I'm on my way. I think I'm on my way with her. I love it. And we have a fair amount of kids and girls in our deer camp, so I think that's important.
That's the best, and especially now with crossbows. Rhett, my son, was 6 last year and took a doe with a crossbow. My daughter was 8 and took a really nice buck with a crossbow. So it allows you to get the kids involved. They'll go with me and sit, but for them to be able to and I'm in Illinois, so it's shotgun or muzzleloader. That's tough for little kids. I mean, it's going to be a while, but involved in the action with a crossbow, that's a big deal. So it's a nice thing.
Yeah, that's great advice. So that's good advice. And she knows, you know, look, she talks about it all the time. She loves the deer meat. You know, I make spaghetti. She goes, we only shoot what we eat. And she's off and running. So I just wanted to share that with you. All right, tell me about this special tonight, because this sounds amazing. Even though you taped it in the spring, couldn't be more timely, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't anticipate it for it taking this long, not knowing what was going to happen with COVID. But, yeah, this is an interview that I was able to get in spring training with Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. And actually, it took me 3 years to get it. And I'm down in spring training. I was trying to get it set up, and things just didn't work. Adam and Yachty are probably two of the busiest guys in spring training. They're mentoring so many young minor league players. Their schedule is crazy. And to try to get them synced up, it just didn't work out. The next year, it just didn't work out. We had it done. And then they called a meeting that at the time we were going to have the interview, and weren't able to do it. And so this year, was able to go in, get it done, the two of them to sit down. And to my knowledge, I've never seen an interview where the two of them sit down together. And so we did it in the dugout. Yeah, we did it in the dugout. I sat him down. We went for, I think it's 31 minutes. And Mark, we could have gone for 3 hours. I mean, it was so fun to sit down and talk to those guys. It kind of brought back memories of just being in the locker room, just talking ball. And they're throwing out names of guys when they first came in the league. It was very, very enjoyable. And my point of the interview, what I wanted to do, I wanted to start day one of their career and take them through post-career and talk about anything in between. And the way they fed off each other, the way they responded to each other's answers and kind of jumped in and added on to things. I didn't know what to expect going in. I haven't done many of these types of interviews, and it was so much better than I could have expected because it was such a natural, just a conversation. And I enjoyed it. You know, I was sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to remember this for a long time, sitting down and having the opportunity to interview two former teammates, but also professionally, I mean, some of the biggest names to ever put on the Cardinal uniform and play together, and to document this for Cardinals fans is pretty cool.
Do you touch him? And this was in the spring. We knew that the free agency was coming. Do you touch on that topic of free agency or not?
So not specifically on free agency. We talked about, I wanted to know from them, they have benefited from all of the former players that, you know, Hall of Famers that still stay involved. And I wanted to know from them, is that something that you foresee yourselves doing and being a part of? Or do you see it just as, you know, kind of right off in the sunset? And you know, it's hard for guys that have made the amount of money that these guys made. They've missed out on so many things with their families. Are you just going to go and focus on that? Are we going to see you on opening day? Because Yadi's going to be a Hall of Famer, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Adam Wainwright's going to be a Cardinals Hall of Famer. And so what does that look like? Are we going to see you guys in the red jackets on opening day? Are we going to see you in spring training as guest instructors? And so they do answer that in the interview.
Well, we'll look to their answers. What are the updated comic? How does this land with those guys? You know, because it's just so difficult to not see them as part of this team, especially Yadi.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because I think people have prepared themselves for Wainwright maybe retiring, not going to another team.
Right.
But COVID sort of, I think this year bought him. I wouldn't quit if I were Adam Wainwright.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't talked to either of them. Just from my perspective and watching it, I think when you let Colton Wong walk, when you had him for, I think it was a $12.5 million option, been one of your best players, best, you know, two or three, top two or three players for you the last couple of years, and you let him walk on that, and then you allow Adam and Yadi both to get the free agency. For Adam and Yadi, here's the thing: they want to win. They're not coming back for the money. They're not coming back for, you know, just to hang around and guys. They're coming back to win. They're going to put all the time and effort into this and put their bodies through this. They want another ring, and they're going to have to look at what's happening here with the Cardinals and say, do we feel like we have a chance to win here? And if not, is there other opportunities? For Adam, I think the only other place, and I could be totally wrong on this, that he would be the Atlanta Braves. You know, kind of a full circle for him. He got drafted by Atlanta. He lives down there in Georgia, not far from there. So is that something he would do? By the way, that team's really good. So he has a chance to know he's most likely going to be in the postseason. And that's what those guys want. That's what they crave. You know, they want October baseball. And so that, I think that's really going to weigh heavily in the decision of whether or not they come back or, you know, I think to all of our dislike, and I can't imagine seeing those two in a different uniform. You know, could we potentially see them in a different uniform?
Yeah, it's just tough. And then, you know, the reality, you have two things colliding right now. You have, and I think there's certainly willingness. We've seen proof of this from Cardinals ownership and management. They want to win. They want to compete. We have competed,
right,
but there's that gap that's still missing to get to the next level, which is weird to even talk about since we were in the NLCS last year and almost there this year. But still, we know the reality of where we are compared to Atlanta and the Dodgers and maybe a couple other teams. But then you have the economic realities of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the Cardinals. They have some really good young pieces. They still need to add a few. I think offensively, we've seen that over the past couple of years. They need some more offense. I think if you look at Atlanta, they have developed from within. They have the pieces in place. And then you look at the economic side of it here for the Cardinals this year. MLB owners, like, this would not, in my opinion, and I don't know, this might play out differently, but this would not be a great year to be a free agent because there's so much uncertainty. I mean, these guys are having to make deals with guys not knowing if there's going to be any fans in the stands for, you know, the beginning or any of next season. And that's going to be a tough scenario. And the Cardinals are going to have to be very careful about that because of how much revenue they do generate from, you know, attendance and things like that. And so it's not that they don't want Adam and Yachty back. It's just a matter of, this is a very tough time that nobody's ever been through, and the decisions they're having to make right now are not fun.
How about Waino in the broadcast booth? Doesn't it kind of piss you off that he was so good? Just so good right away?
No, not really. That doesn't aggravate me. Adam, when he's done, he can do whatever he wants. And I hope more people, you know, Adam does a good job of doing interviews. He's pretty outspoken. You get to know him, but he would be of such a great value in that, whether he does it on the national stage here in St. Louis. You know, he has so much knowledge and has helped so many young guys through their years of through his years here in the uniform that he would be great at that. And it doesn't surprise me one bit. Again, I think it comes down to post-career. How much time do you want to put in? What do you want your involvement to be? Because there's a lot of things that, you know, with your family that you want to catch up with that you haven't been able to do.
Well, one of the things I like about Waino, and I'm going to throw you a compliment too, is he didn't try to talk like a broadcaster. He's just talking,
right,
and communicating,
yeah,
that way. Some people, when they get, and you've probably seen this even interviewing folks, George W. Bush might have been the most notorious. You know, you talk to someone, they're a normal person, you put a microphone in front of them, and then they do things differently. Anyway, we got some updated numbers I got to get to with the pandemic, but Kyle, thank you so much. 6 o'clock tonight, camox.com. I can't wait to see it and hear it. I'm excited. I think Cardinal Nation is excited, so congratulations, and keep me posted on the deer activity.
Yeah, I love it. And people that listen, let me know on Instagram and Twitter, let me know your thoughts on it, and hopefully everybody enjoys it.
Absolutely. I can't see how they're not going to. That's exciting. 3:30. All right, let's go to Dr. Garza. He was a guest earlier this afternoon on KMOX, and here he is with some updated numbers on this Monday afternoon from the Pandemic Task Force.
Their work will go on to save many lives over the long term. Now, most of our work this year has been to protect people and buy time until we can get delivery of a safe and effective vaccine. However, even with today's vaccine news, we're still months away from reaching immunity in the population. So I don't want people to take that as we're in the clear now. We still have many months to go in this pandemic before we'll see any appreciable amount of vaccine in our community. With that being said, the virus is spreading way too quickly and making too many people sick that have to seek care in our healthcare systems. And sadly, we're not keeping up with the pace of the virus right now. Right now, really, the virus is winning. We now have over 600 people in the hospital with COVID and another 150 who are suspected to have COVID. That means that we have more than 750 people in the hospital, we believe, because of COVID, and that is more than we have ever had before. This not only means that the virus is spreading faster than ever, but more people are getting sick enough to be hospitalized. And all of that is happening before we get into the colder weather, where we know the virus will spread even faster. What is really bad now for businesses, hospitals, healthcare workers, and sick patients will get even worse when it gets colder. This morning, you also heard St. Louis County Executive Dr. Sam Page note the importance of making progress over the next week or so. Our concern is that without significant progress, we as a community will have to make some recommendations to try and slow down the spread. This is not the time to ignore the proven measures we know that help control the virus and allow businesses to stay open. So every time we skip wearing a mask or choose to gather in a group of people who are not socially distancing, we are giving the virus more control over our economy and over our lives. This is really the time for people of this region and of the state to control the virus. Otherwise, it will keep controlling us. Let's take a look at the data that we have from today and it's Monday, so we go over our modeling slides, and then we'll take some questions from the media. So we start, as always, with our graph highlighting our regional hospital admissions, and we continue to be heading in the wrong direction. Our daily admissions now, today, is 78, and remember, there's a two-day lag with that number. Our seven-day moving average is higher than ever and continues to jump quickly every single day. The average is now 86. More people than ever are now getting sick enough that they have to be admitted to the hospital. And there is absolutely no way that we can sustain this pace. With so many people being admitted, we are now seeing more people overall end up in our hospitals with COVID. Today, we're sorry to report 600 hospitalizations of confirmed COVID positive patients. That is the highest number of patients we have ever had since we began tracking the pandemic. Today, the rolling average is 517. Again, an incredibly high number for our systems. We simply have to get the virus under control. We cannot sustain this level of hospitalizations. Let me give you a little bit more detail now on our COVID numbers. And again, this slide represents our COVID positive patients only and does not include patients who are suspected of having COVID. As I mentioned, we have 600 hospitalizations today with confirmed COVID patients. We have 125 confirmed COVID patients in our intensive care units, and that number continues to climb. And we have 65 confirmed COVID patients on ventilators. So while we're getting better at managing patients with COVID, the overall increase in patients with the virus means we are seeing larger numbers of people in our intensive care units and on ventilators. Looking at our suspected COVID numbers, we have 153 hospitalizations today of suspected COVID patients. We have 25 suspected COVID patients in the intensive care unit, and we have 6 suspected COVID patients on ventilators today. As we always do, we call this our good news slide, and we will continue to do so. We had 50 patients discharged today from, or yesterday, from our pandemic task force hospitals, and our cumulative patients discharged is 8,386.
Well, that's Dr. Garza wrapping up the news conference. He's going to take some questions. We had him on. If you want to use the radio.com rewind function or just go to the podcast from 2:20 this afternoon, a conversation with Dr. Garza. You hear a little bit more of it in the next hour. Look, we're heading toward a lockdown probably in St. Louis County, a stay-at-home order or some more restrictions. Here's the mayor just 9 minutes ago tweeting this. We have to get our COVID-19 numbers down because they're surging locally, regionally, and nationally. I think it's fair to say that if we're not able to make progress on getting these numbers headed downward, we'll be looking for additional restrictions. My question to the mayor was, when she said, I think it's fair if we don't get these numbers down, we're looking for restrictions, is she talking murders or is she talking COVID? And I think that's a fair question since we're sitting right now currently on this November 9th, 2020, at 226 COVID deaths in the city of St. Louis and 222 murder deaths. So if we're going to lock down, I think we better look at the reason for the lockdown. I would take my chances with COVID. Think about it. I'm not even joking about this. You might think I am. I'd take my chances with COVID coming downtown. Murders? Not so much. 337 at KMOX. Are you the weakest link? We're going to find out. There is a St. Louis participant tonight on The Reboot that's on NBC. Jane Lynch is the new host, and man, I think we need diversion. Spencer Scott with me this afternoon. You're going to see him tonight on The Weakest Link. Hopefully he will not be told he's the weakest link. He joins me on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Spencer Scott, how are you?
Hi, doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. We need some, you know, I think you know this. We need some entertainment. We need some levity. We need some fun. So hopefully that's what people will tune into tonight on The Weakest Link. Let's find out a little bit about you here before we talk about the show. What do you do here in St. Louis?
Well, I was born and raised in St. Louis. Lived there up until I graduated high school and left for college. And so I'm currently living in Los Angeles.
But you do have strong St. Louis roots. You got to answer the high school question, Spencer.
Oh,
you know how that goes.
Absolutely, yeah. Born and raised, grew up, played Little League. Baseball's in the water there, as everyone knows. And so, big Cardinal fan. Played baseball all the way up through varsity high school, and then off I went.
Wait, and what was the varsity high school?
I went to a magnet high school, visual and performing arts. At the time that I went there, the school was located in the Soulard area, down 9th Street.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so when did this, what we're going to see tonight, when was this recorded? Was this all pre-COVID?
No. This was actually recorded within the last, I would say, 60 days or so. The last 2 months, maybe a little longer than that, but fairly recently.
So how did you get involved? And I'm guessing you have a love for game shows, which maybe got on the radar of the folks at The Weakest Link. Tell us the story.
Well, I grew up loving game shows. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household that consisted of, besides, you know, mom and my brother, it was also my grandmother and my grandfather and my great grandmother. So there were all these generations of relatives in the household. And my great grandmother, one of her most favorite things to do was play along and watch TV game shows. And so I sort of grew up at her foot there as a little guy, just watching these shows and playing along and thinking, one day I'm going to go on there and play and win myself. And sure enough, I got a chance as I got older to audition for a game show, and then here I am.
Remind us a little bit, for folks who haven't checked out the reboot with Jane Lynch, of how the format of The Weakest Link works, because there's some teamwork involved here, and I guess to cull it down, if you suck, you might go home, right?
Yeah, that's the whole idea. It's a trivia-based show, and there are 8 contestants to start with, and so it's a winner-take-all game, and it boils down to the last remaining contestant. And so you have to answer questions. You have to be sharp. The general trivia questions come from a variety of areas. And then at the same time, as you mentioned, there's that teamwork aspect, because you want to eliminate the bad player or give yourself the best opportunity to be one of the last players.
So do you have a particular strong category versus a weak category?
You know what? That's a great question. I feel pretty good across the board, but I definitely am stronger in certain areas. Sports, I don't think you're going to beat me in sports, okay? But then also, I feel pretty strong in science, you know, astronomy, current events, politics, world history. I'm pretty good there. Now, on the flip side, my weakest category is going to be these kinds of period categories like Renaissance literature or opera, you know, famous painters, artists from certain eras. I'm going to have trouble with.
Yeah, well, the reason is because you have a life, probably. I mean, whose strength is opera? I think you might have to really take a close internal look if that's your strength for The Weakest Link. Look, you know what? It would be, Spencer, I have to ask you about this because you are such a game show fan, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later this hour, the passing of Alex Trebek. We found that out yesterday. Yeah. Just some reflection on that as a fan of game shows.
I always hope that at some point before it was said and done, I'd get a chance to play on Jeopardy. And, of course, it hasn't happened, at least not yet. But it's not the same. I always hoped I would have had a chance to actually meet Alex. I've watched Jeopardy for the longest time. And that's one of those shows I love to play along with. And Alex is just like a game show host, you know, smart, likable, funny. He's definitely going to be missed. It was a downer to hear that yesterday.
We look forward to seeing you tonight on The Weakest Link, a little St. Louis participant to root for. The show is on at 9 p.m. Central here, in the Midwest. Spencer Scott, good luck with everything. I hope you don't hear those words. You are the weakest link.
I sure appreciate it. Thanks for supporting St. Louis.
Spencer Scott, as the phone line sounded like it was dying there at the end. It's 3:48. You can watch him tonight on NBC.
Let's stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. This would have been the cut of the day. It happened just moments ago. I don't have audio yet. We'll turn it around as fast as we can. Fox News cut away from Kayleigh McEnany just a short time ago, saying the network could, Fox News, not CNN, saying the network could not in good conscience continue to air her false claims for which she has provided no supporting evidence. Our friend Doug High tweeted that out and said, life comes at you fast. I guess so. All right, a couple of things here for our audio cut of the day. First, Andrew Cuomo, the guy who is the governor of the state with the most COVID deaths, talking about this great news. This is good news. We may have a vaccine. Really, really good news from Pfizer today, but he throws this cold water on it.
It's good news, bad news, George. The good news is the Pfizer tests look good and we'll have a vaccine shortly. The bad news is that it's about 2 months before Joe Biden takes over. And that means this administration is going to be implementing a vaccine plan. The vaccine plan is very important, and it's probably the most ambitious undertaking since COVID began. Just to put it in focus, we did 120 million COVID tests in this nation over 7 months, scrambling, doing everything we can. We now have to do 330 million vaccinations, maybe twice.
There's Andrew Cuomo. Well, he's right about the numbers, but look, it's great news that there's a vaccine and the states are going to be responsible for the distribution. And here is a little bit more on the death, because we thought this was interesting. Alex Trebek died at the age of 80. This was the contestant on Friday who won on Jeopardy, Bert Thacker.
Any family members back home cheering you on?
You know, here's a true story, man. I grew up, I learned English because of you. And so my grandfather, who raised me, I'm going to get tears right now. I used to sit on his lap and watch you every day. So it's a pretty special moment for me, man. Thank you very much.
I'm guessing Mr. Thacker had a lot more tears yesterday after hearing the news that Alex Trebek had passed away at the age of 80. That's your audio cuts of the day. Total Information PM is coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!